Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to call to order this meeting of the Structural Technical Advisory Committee. Today is Tuesday, April the 2nd, 2019, and it is 2 p.m. We will begin by calling roll to confirm that we have a quorum. And if you would, TAC members, please answer by saying here. Jim Schock?
Here.
Warner Chang? David Compton? Michael Garacio?
Here.
Jamie Gascon?
Here.
Joe Hetzel? Joe Kim?
Here.
Dan Laveridge?
Here.
C.W. McCumber?
Here.
Craig Perino?
Here.
Steve Strawn?
Dick Wilhelm for Steve Strawn.
Thank you, Dick. Did any of the TAC members not make roll call and would like to acknowledge your presence?
David Compton.
Thank you, David. Warner Chang or Joe Hetzel?
Warner Chang here.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're hearing an echo in the background. One of you may have your phone turned up extra loud. You might try adjusting the volume a little bit. TAC members, next we would like to review the agenda as posted. If there are no changes, please give us a motion to accept.
Leverage move to accept the agenda.
Do we have a second?
Garacio second.
Garacio second. All those in favor, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We were going to approve the previous minutes. However, they are not quite ready for review at this time since our meeting was just a few days ago. So we will move ahead to our item of discussion, which is item C on your agenda, the evaluation of wind resistance and performance of vinyl siding and soffit systems during Hurricane Irma. Mo?
Yeah, this is Mo Madani. Good afternoon. As part of this year's research project, the Commission approved the conduction of this research project evaluation of wind resistance of vinyl siding and soffit system and performance during the 2017 Hurricane Irma. The project is being conducted by University of Florida, and David on the line with us to give us a status on this research. Go ahead.
And very quickly, we'd like to introduce the staff in the room. I'm Marlita Peters, helping to facilitate today.
Mo Madani.
Justin Vogel.
Chris Howell.
Jim Hammers.
And Tom just left the office. He'll be back. Is there anyone on the line who would like to be acknowledged for the recording? Any guest? Hearing none. Mr. Pravat, you're on the line.
Yes, good afternoon. Am I sharing my screen?
You are?
Are you seeing my screen? I hope so.
Well, we're seeing. There we go.
Okay. Good. Good afternoon, everyone. This is David Pravat. I'm an associate professor at the University of Florida.
Dr. Pravat?
And this provides our... Yep.
Can we ask you to make it full screen, please?
Yes. And this is our interim report. Just an assessment. You have already had the interim report in your hand. And so what I'd like to do is to present some repeats of the material that you have there, as well as to be available for any explanations or questions. So the title of this research was Evaluation of Wind Resistance of Vinyl Siding Soffit Systems and the Performance of Building Envelope Systems during Hurricane Irma in 2017. I selected these two photographs from our data set to show you the variable nature of the performance of siding materials. On the left, we have a house. Both of these houses were in Big Pine Key, Monroe County, and on the left we have a house that has the vinyl siding essentially intact, structural shutters and so on, but the soffit, the vinyl soffit, has been mainly removed. On the picture on the right, you see the vinyl siding torn away from the sheathing as it is. And so we've seen several of these. We want to discuss and see what's the next steps. Overall, the task, of course, is us. We offered to review some of the work that was done at University of Florida and other places. Many of them were sponsored by the Structural TAC or the Florida Building Commission itself. And then we wanted to look in terms of the work a reassessment of some of the data from Hurricane Irma and our data set and the augmentations to that data set that we're on the way right now. And thirdly is the development of the experimental test apparatus following the work of IDHS and Western University in Canada. This photograph or this sketch is basically what we're talking about for the first part of this presentation, is looking at the soffit system. Essentially, we want to find out what are the criteria for the performance of these systems, and are we doing, or are there sufficient details in the Florida Building Code to prevent premature failure. And when we're looking at soffit systems, the work we've seen ranges not only at the vinyl siding, but looking at different types of materials, panel and wood or fiber cement panels, as well as metal, sometimes aluminum siding systems. In this report, the 2008 report from FEMA Eaves, Overhangs, and Soffit, they essentially outlined several occasions and locations of things that can go wrong with the soffit. We're clear in terms of what the wind loads are on the soffit. If one were to treat it as components and cladding, we would be designing for the zone 5 or zone 4, the literally the zone of the wall just below the soffit itself. Vickery provided that detail in his paper, confirming from wind tunnel tests that the soffit pressure would be the same as the wall pressure, and this is essentially what we use today. In looking at this, the limit state that we have to address with soffits are both the structural failures, so the removal of the panels based upon the wind loading, the wind pressures on the panels itself, as well as the water intrusion. Okay, a lot of water gets into these panels. Particularly once they're missing, this can lead to, very costly expense within the house itself. My colleague Forrest Masters in 2006, I believe this was a project sponsored by Department of Community Affairs when he was at FIU at the time. He looked at several different types of panels, and he compared the amount of water intrusion relative to a free stream of water entering into the panel system. And several of these systems still exist today, the hidden vents of it, or perforated vinyls and perforated aluminum soffits at specimen 2 and 3. He investigated covering the soffit with insect screen, which also found a way to reduce the amount of water intrusion, and then covering the hidden vents with deflector shields to reduce water penetration. And so this here, I wasn't quite sure what a hidden vent was. It shows my ignorance of this area, but now that you see it here, you could imagine that you cover those vents that are now hidden from the underside of the panel with a deflector to try to reduce the water driven into the panel, into the attic area itself and staying on the surface. So, you know, essentially there are variable performances, not, to my mind, I'm not sure how to read these numbers without actually going back and looking in detail at them, but the slot vent and the baffled system did not perform very well. There's some variable performance in the other systems, but generally speaking, the water intrusion content is relatively low in that case. Okay? Of course, these are just for that specific test that Masters that did, probably using the hurricane simulator at the time to run these tests. Okay. More specifically, we are interested in how these panels fail by disengagement, the nail pulling out through the hem, or pulling nail pull over through the hem, torn nail slots, and just deformation on the loads as well. Okay. Work by Masters and Kiesling more recently, about 6-7 years ago, 8 years ago, shows that utilizing J channels at the ends connected to the wood runners or fascia plate helps to increase the capacity of these channels and make them last a little bit longer. Okay. One interesting thing that potentially may not have been caught in the Florida Building Code so far, and this report, Task 5 report, shows the comparison between the failure capacity of a 1 foot panel, soffit panel, versus a 2 foot soffit panel. And, you know, when you hear the results, it seems to make sense that the narrower panel or the narrower soffit can take a higher load before it disengages and before it fails, a load in the range of 4 kPa, 4 times 20, say about 80 PSF as a ultimate capacity, whereas the 2 foot wide panel failed in around less than 2, even 1.7, so about half the capacity of that. It was interesting when we look into the Florida Building Code that these panels have probably the same capacity, you know, and this is probably depending on how we test the product approval for this. Do we test it at the 1 foot span? If we do so, we get one value. If we test it at a 2 foot span, we get another value. Hopefully the product approval is using a 2 foot and not a 1 foot. But this is something I have to confirm further as we go through this work. The other important consideration was that the design or the installation of the corners of the soffits was particularly problematic. Using that each channel in at the diagonal we see in this sketch, the recommendation here was that there should be potentially a specific product approval or protocol just to ensure that this corner performed as well or better than the straight run 2 foot or foot panels that we have. Also, you know, just for completeness, there are several other types of panels used or materials used for soffits, from just a straight OSB, stucco soffits, and fiber cement boards. I just have these here, but these are not sort of the source of my the work or the focus of the work in this particular project. The other aspect of the project was looking at the performance and insulation and durability of vinyl siding systems. One can imagine this, a vinyl siding installed onto a sheathing with a house wrap, Tyvek or something, nature between it as a water shedding layer, and then we install the vinyl siding. Florida Building Code Chapter 14 provides us details on the what is necessary for here, as well as the ASTM D 3679 provides us with the protocol for testing and determining this pressure equalization factor. Pressure equalization factor simply means the proportion or the net pressure on that vinyl siding itself, given that you have an exterior pressure, surface pressure generated by the wind. Why is this the case? It is the case because these systems are air permeable, and therefore air is able to move from the gap between the sheathing and the underside of the panel to the outside, and this at times reduces and at some times increases the pressure on these panels. Okay? The PEF value of 0.36 means that we're looking at a 36% of the net external pressure that you will obtained by designing for ASE 7 or the Florida Building Code. A more recent version of ASTM D 3679 has increased that PEF value to 50%. This was done after some testing by Intertech, formerly, I think, ETI, Architectural Testing Inc., I believe, in Pennsylvania, as well as some discussion with IBHS following the tests that they did on their full-scale model that got other values as well. From Hurricane Irma, FEMA identified these sort of key factors, right? Vinyl siding suffered most of the exterior covering damage. Okay, let's put Irma into perspective. Irma was a less severe storm than Hurricane Michael was in the Panhandle. In most areas, it was not up to a design level event. That said, one would not expect to have structural damage, and potentially one would not expect to have siding damage as well. And as a result, the FEMA identified that there were several failure pressures for vinyl siding below those design values that they had, and also that there was some difficulty, and this is something that we're going to face in our project here, in determining the adequacy of the vinyl siding design for coastal or hurricane-prone environments. Okay, the next set of work related to this is work done by Ann Koop and Murray Morrison of IBHS, and the Miller et al. Work done led out of Western University in Canada. Dr. Koop and her group, they utilized the full-scale wind tunnel testing to measure and determine what the PEF values actually were for different loading cases using a full-scale building on 360 degrees, and their PEF values came up closer to 70% or 80% at the extreme pressure values. Okay, so we're comparing that 80% there to what is currently in ASTM D3679 of 50% going forward, and a 36%, which was the original value. Both the Irma FEMA report as well as prior reports from Hurricane Ivan in Alabama and Florida pointed out some of the details, construction details, lack of nail hem installation, and improper starter strip that potentially led to failures, as well as the lack of a utility strip below that window where that potentially a vinyl siding strip was cut, the nail hem is missing, and that initiated some of the failures. And these details also resulted in sometimes lack of attachment on the left, as we see there, or complete full-scale detachment of the vinyl siding, as we see in the photograph on the right. So, in terms of looking at the construction details, the question of the PEF, the pressure equalization factor values, one of the things that seems to be emerging is the design pressure that we use for vinyl siding appropriate and correct. Okay, the work done by Dr. Kopp and Miller et al. At Western Ontario, as well as they were able in their 2017 study to compare the PEF values that IBHS measured from their full scale test using a multi-chamber system. Related to that, Morave et al., another work out of Western University, found that this PEF, it varies per the size of your component or your tributary area. The larger the size, the smaller is the PEF value that we did have. Okay. The photograph on the right, forgive me for this being a little bit confusing. Let me see if I could explain it. If you could imagine that vinyl siding that you see at that white installed on the left, imagine that is installed on a wood wall or wood framing that's going behind it. The latex barrier system is what is used to form the edges or the perimeter of a chamber, and then the steel reaction frame is the solid structure that forms the top of that chamber, and it's being used to react against. Okay? And so within that little picture there, one would attach the pressure loading actuators and be able to change the pressure within that chamber contained within, say, the vinyl siding, the latex barrier system, which goes along all four sides, and then that steel reaction frame. and thereby moot these final findings. Other recommendations, again, these are, you know, things that we probably ought to know. I'm assuming they might be in the code, or they're not there. We ought to consider putting them. The important thing to me would be, you know, use of shims or solid backing material when installing vinyl over existing siding material. One might ask yourself whether we ought to allow the installing siding over siding. This is something that engineers probably struggle with in terms of advising their clients, whether you install roofing over an existing roofing. But at any rate, it should be a solid backing must be provided for, you know, in order to get the strips and so on installed. The question of using corrosion-resistant fasteners, stainless steel, for buildings within 3,000 feet of the ocean is well established, and I believe this structural tack has looked at corrosion resistance and the performance of fasteners in buildings previously. Ensuring the workmanship of getting the nails installed, you know, midway within the slot in the nail hem, as well as leaving space for not to squash the hem and prevent it from moving. These are things that ought to be considered as part and parcel for good practice and good performance of vinyl siding. Again, this recommendations from the Hurricane Irma study, driving nails straight and level, avoiding distortion, not using nails through the face of the vinyl siding itself, but going into the slots, are also important, as well as ensuring that you have a large enough nail head diameter so that it will engage the vinyl siding in and around the slot area. Again, here we're looking at the installation and overlap details for this, and also specifying that we have the siding installed on sheathing that's capable of resisting design wind pressures. When I saw this, I wasn't quite sure where this comes from, and someone on this committee might be able to help me, is why was this only at a gable end wall as opposed to all walls? Something for us, the structural tack, maybe to consider. Okay, so then, what is our data set? We have from the Hurricane Irma studies, which I've presented here previously to the Florida Building Commission. We looked at, I believe, up to about 600 structures from the Keys all the way to Jacksonville. Of these, we identified 250 or so single-family homes that had vinyl siding. And 143 of those actually had visible damage to the cladding areas. Okay, of that 143, 41 were houses were post 2001, so based upon the Florida Building Code provisions. So what are we trying to do? We want to be able to look through this data set and confirm that the vinyl siding is installed, whether it's on a cladding or on the soffit system, from our Hurricane Irma database. Then we want to quantify in some way what is the failure patterns. OK? Okay. So when I look at this, I'm thinking, are the vinyl siding failing on the suction side, or is it being sort of, how we say, is it sort of being ripped off on the positive pressure side for the buildings? Then once we have done that, we want to be able to have as good an estimate as we can of the design wind speed and its direction relative to these the failed vinyl siding. So we will use ARE's wind model and other surface wind observations that we have from Hurricane Irma. In addition to that, utilizing the building appraiser's website, we hope to add to our data set the age of the structure, and in cases where we can find out the age of the cladding soffit installation itself. This, yeah, of course, we can gain from the permits, if permits were taken from that. Okay, and then finally, we want to have what is actually Florida Building Code design wind speed for that area, as well as exposure conditions and local shielding and so on if necessary. So essentially, looking at the picture on the right now from our Cudjoe Key building, we want to find out what is the percentage of the vinyl siding that has failed, and we will do this per site. So sort of like take the area in red divided by the total area, and that's some a percentage of the failed vinyl siding. Some of the difficulties or the issue that we see is if one were to look at that house in Cudjoe Key, we identified the dominant wind direction moving from right to left in this case. So, you know, one might assume that this is on the potentially on the positive side, on the windward side. The peak wind gust was about 115 miles per hour as an estimate, and the sidewall initiation here on the vinyl siding. We know the building from the appraiser's website is 22 years old, but in this case we don't have an idea of the age of the siding itself. One of the other limitations is from our data set, we only have the two sides that we were able to observe from the street and not from the property. And that is something that we're going to face for pretty much many of our structures. Here's another look at this building at Little Torch Key. Again, the estimated wind speed, 115 miles per hour. Remember, the wind speeds in the Keys would have been the highest wind speeds we experienced in Florida during Hurricane Irma. And we had initiation both on the sidewalls and on the leeward side of the structure. Again, here we have a building that is about 19 years old, no permits on record for the siding, but we have a soffit permit record at 2016, so more recently installed. Okay, and in that case, they removed and used a hardy plank or hardy wood board material for those soffits. Okay, so again here we will be looking at what from that original data set, what was damaged versus what was not, and that is the metric we will be using for the remainder of the study. So far we have vinyl siding performance confirmed in 36 houses on the Florida Keys. 11 of these houses were post FBC, so Florida Building Code performance, and 9 of those 11 also had visible vinyl siding damage at the court loft. So we are continuing to finesse our understanding of the remaining homes and focusing on these post-Florida Building Commission houses, post, in this case, post-2001 constructed houses. Okay. The limitation, again, we are always going to be faced with, for the most part, we are able to see 3 sides, possibly only 2 sides or 1 side from the street, and we're in many occasions not going to be able to know what is the age of the vinyl siding or the soffit itself as we go along. Fortunately, we've reached out to the Monroe County, and they are willing and able to help us by providing high-resolution oblique aerial imagery, and they are willing to speak or meet with us. So once we get our data sets together, we plan to get down there and to meet with them to discuss the information. It's, again, like our Hurricane Michael, we're trying our best to find a good way to bring all this data together so that we have as complete an area of the vinyl siding performance as we can. I have also reached out to the Vinyl Siding Institute, and I have a meeting carded for, I believe, Friday of this week to discuss with them to see perhaps if they also have additional information on vinyl siding damage and performance that they have had, as well as the FEMA MAP teams, mitigation assessment teams, who also have additional imagery, either still imagery or overhead things. Okay. This work includes as well trying our best to extract the permit records related to vinyl siding for these buildings that have been damaged. Okay. And the final part of this discussion is going to be looking at the proposal for establishing a test bed for vinyl siding. It is clear that the pressure equalization factor is an important aspect of the vinyl siding ultimate capacity. It is also clear to us that testing of the vinyl siding systems with a uniform pressure is incapable of developing the spatial variations in pressure that actually occur and that actually are necessary to produce these PEF values. And so what we propose is to follow the work of the University of Western Ontario in developing a multi-chamber system. And what you're seeing in the photograph on the left shows partially 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 chambers separated by the red and black areas where the latex barriers will go. And so what this enables University of Western Ontario to do is to set this up, test the vinyl siding in the photograph you see on the right, but they can replicate the actual spatial pressure variation that IBHS was able to measure in their actual testing. Okay? And so that is the approach that we plan to do. Just to give you an idea of how this might look installed, this is from the Three Little Pigs experiment in Canada. What we're looking down on a gable roof, a low-slope gable roof, and what you're seeing is the reaction frame that supports several dozen boxes that are replicating the pressure, spatial pressures on that roof system itself. And so we're trying to recreate that in a simple approach. Basically, the excluded view is shown here on the left, and the actual test would be something like this, whereby on the right side here, you have a wood frame wall with vinyl siding installed, and then the latex chamber surround to hold the pressure, and then a solid reaction frame. So the work, where this work came from was from IBHS's full-scale test. Probably this is we use both a gable as well as a hip roof on the other side. And for about the first 12 or 16 feet, this area here, they installed pressure taps, both to measure the external pressure in this location, and then the gap pressure, the pressure between the vinyl siding and the underside of the sheathing. And so it was a difference in that gap pressure versus the external pressure gives you an idea of what that pressure equalization factor was. And so for us, what we plan to do is to utilize our spatiotemporal pressure loading actuator device at Powell Labs in University of Florida to run a test like this. Of course, as we said, this year, because the budget was halved, we will only be able to potentially build this. I don't think we'll have any results out of this itself. But essentially, we will build a wall, wood frame wall, on the base of this structure, install the vinyl siding on top of that, divide that area into at least four pressure chambers or pressure boxes separated by the vinyl, by the latex material, and then we will support that latex material on reaction frames that will span over the SPLA. And in this way, hopefully we would be able to simulate what had come out of IBHS and then actually have a way for, should this work get support in the next round, to continue to actually come up with a test protocol that might give us a much more reasonable idea of how to conduct a test on vinyl siding and to get a realistic measure of the pressure equalization value. So that is where we are at right now. I wish to thank you for your attention, and to thank the many students here who have helped me with this presentation and are currently working on the experimental work. This work was also done in conjunction with Dr. David Roush at Auburn University, and his students who are helping us pull together the activities from the appraiser's website to determine the age of the siding themselves. So I'd be happy to to answer any questions you might have at this time.
TAC members, any questions or comments?
Laverich, just want to say, David, good job. Very nice presentation. Thank you.
Excellent. David, Ben.
This is Jamie Gaskin. Dr. Pravat, it was interesting to note some of the recommendations could go as high as a 0.8 for the pressure equalization factor. Currently, ASTM having it at 0.36. I know in Miami-Dade County, we have always traditionally used the equivalent of about a 0.5, which is kind of where this seems to be winding up. It surprises me to note the 0.8 recommendation or suggestion from some of the research done. However, one specific question has to do with the manner in which testing is proposed with this latex perimeter baffle. And is that backed up by anything, or is that just ballooning into the chamber or outside of the chamber, depending on pressurization or withdrawing pressure from to create vacuum?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the intent of that vinyl?
Yeah. So let me take Jamie your questions both in sequence. The first thing about the pressure equalization factors, I've done some tests. Currently working on some testing using discontinuous metal roofing systems, and I have obtained about the same values of 0.7, 0.8. When we ran those tests at IBHS. The problem of the lower values that we have in the code or in ATC, ASTM 3679, they were developed by ATI Intertech back in the day, utilizing a single uniform chamber, where all the pressure is simply being forced at one pressure through the system. And this, unfortunately, while it was the best approach that we could do at the time, it's not physically realistic for it to behave like that. That air moves in and out, sometimes on the same surface while you have air being pulled out at the suction zone, it's actually being forced in the pressure areas, and this is a very dynamic environment. With regard to the latex system, the effort here is trying to create the separate pressure boxes without restraining the displacement or the characteristics of the vinyl siding itself. So we wanted something that would be do a number of things. Firstly, we wanted something that can adhere and seal to the vinyl siding, because it actually has to touch it. But we didn't want a structure or a material that would add too much stiffness and falsely create a structural movement or limit the structural behavior of that thing. So Dr. Kopp used this latex material in his testing at Western University, and this is why we have leaned towards this as a first step, right? So essentially, you're going to have this sort of solid reaction frame kind of suspended over our vinyl siding, and then these latex things kind of hang there, not putting any weight on the vinyl siding. So as you could imagine, and as you suggested, if I evacuate that chamber, the latex is going to pull in and possibly pull up, and hopefully the reaction frame is stable enough, it is not going to move, and the vinyl siding will also pull up as it goes along.
Okay. If I may, on a follow-up matter, you had mentioned in your presentation that the larger area of influence of wind on vinyl siding would tend to have a lower value of the pressure equalization factor versus a smaller influence area experiencing maybe or corresponding to a larger pressure equalization factor. Is that something that's going to be considered in any future testing that's considered I saw the image that you showed there for the future testing showed to be a pretty large size area. That one right there.
Yeah.
And even that one.
So the flexibility of the flexibility of using this system is that I can vary fairly easily without much trouble the sizes of those pressure chambers, right? For the most part, what I'm showing here was sort of following as a first stab the zone 4 and zone 5 that we might have, say, in ASC 7, right? Just a horizontal, not horizontal, a vertical strip from wall plate to roof plate of something that might be, say, 2 feet or 3 feet in width. I certainly can vary that to any approach from a point of view from a research standpoint. But I suspect, you know, one of the things that we're going to be considering here is what would be a reasonable compromise between having multiple chambers and having a test procedure that is, or a test protocol that is amenable to standard test organizations' use. One of the things, you know, I don't believe even what we're showing here of having four chambers operating, it's kind of a game changer for us right now from the point of view of test protocols that have essentially almost 100% just use a uniform chamber. So, you know, I think there are going to be some baby steps there. That said, I think having multiple chambers is going to be something we'll see not only with vinyl siding but with other types of cladding systems in the future.
Dr. Prepak,
excellent.
Can I...
Thank you.
Mr. Shock, I believe you need to leave the line. Is that correct?
Yeah, I got just a couple minutes yet, but then I'll have to leave. I appreciate that, though.
Thank you. TAC members, any other questions? Anyone from the public on the line that would like to make questions or comments, please? Hearing none, TAC members, back to you for a motion to accept the report.
Average, move to accept the report. Or I'll say a second.
Any further discussion? Leverage, Garasso. Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion to accept the report as presented, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any other comments, TAC members? Anyone from the public?
1 to 10.
I'm sorry?
1 to 10. I have just a couple comments.
Go ahead, Warner.
Okay. Dr. Pavest, thank you for the presentation. It's very thorough, very good. I'd like to mention the FEMA report in Irma has really pointed out that the vinyl siding and the solid panels, they were installed, they were not installed properly. So there's 9 out of 11 that Dr. Pavet, you mentioned that posed for the building code construction that have damage. I'm not exactly sure how many projects that FEMA investigated were posed Florida building code error.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry? I was talking to myself. Sorry for disturbing you.
Okay. So no problem. So I think Dr. Pavet's report sort of focused some of the arguments on the pressure patients by increase the negative wind pressure imposed on the vinyl sulfate and vinyl siding. On the other hand, the FEMA report finds that the vinyl sulfate panel sidings and the sulfate panels were not attached properly. Okay, so I think the structural tech have to sort of make a determination. Do we want to go heavily into the research of the pressure equalization factors, you know, try to argue with the ASTM subpanel, or maybe go into the ASC 7 wing committee's argument? Or do we want to look at how do we use the existing information that we have now to improve the performance on the sulfate panel, such as, you know, how do we verify the construction are in accordance with the manufacturer's installation, right? So, you know, I think there's benefit on both sides, and I just want to bring that up to, you know, a consideration going forward.
Mm-hmm. Jim Kirschock here, if I may.
Go ahead, Mr. Schock.
Yeah, I think, Warner, I understand where you're coming from. I think both are important. Yeah, I served on the MAT team in Michael, on the residential team, and we specifically zeroed in on homes that were built under the Florida Building Code. And we saw the same issues, you know, the siding, the soffit, and roof covering failures, cladding failures. I do think some of it was insulation for sure. I don't think the vinyl siding installation guidelines were followed in a lot of cases. So I think there's room on both sides, and it's a multifaceted problem. We probably need to attack it both ways.
Yeah, this is Mo Medani. I think we need to go back, although we're talking about, you know, post FVC, the soffit issue, you know, in terms of specification and all that, came into the Florida Building Code after the 2006, 2010, maybe. A lot of the stuff were the improvement and the requirement that the soffit be designed to design a pressure as same as the wall. Those came later. So I think very important to know exactly the age of the sidings, does it fit which code editions, so you can be able to look at what are the specifications as per that code and see if those were, you know, really in compliance with. So it's especially, you know, the work that was done by Dr. Masters and those things that really resulted in revising the code. So the age is really knowing what we're dealing with is very important to be able to tie the code to the findings.
Melita, I'm going to run now, so I'll miss final roll call.
Okay,
but,
thank you.
I think we're about done anyway. So.
Thank you, Mr. Schock. Have a good afternoon. Schock members, any further questions or comments?
Ms. O'Kim?
Go ahead, Mr. Kim.
I agree with Jim Schock's comments. I think there's room on both sides for the TAC and especially the Florida Building Commission to address there. As far as Warren's comments, I understand his comments, as Jim pointed out, but now ASC 7 and ASTM committees, they are, you know, a different animal, and it takes a long time. It's a lot of the heavily industry voiced opinions, and, you know, they're very slow to move, and I think that's a good thing. And I think, you know, with the performance of vinyl soffits in the past three decades, and the minutia that the technology has moved forward, I think the structural tech can help to add to the conversation. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. TAC members, any further questions or comments? Dr. Pravat, did you have any final closing remarks?
I think I would, the discussion is really good between Renato and Jim that you just made. The one thing I would remind everyone that, you know, Irma was not a design level event. Wind speeds at 115 miles per hour as in the Keys was the highest, and at that level, we ought not to have anything failing. Even if we, you know, the workmanship was, you know, a little bit subpar, but it's too close to the board for us to tolerate. The other thing is that the pressure equalization factor, getting that right is a very important thing. And I can't think of another way of getting it right, but by doing the testing that in the way that we're trying to.
Thank you. Anyone from the public with final comments?
This is Bill Kim. Just one more comment, please.
Okay.
That's Corvette. When I was down there looking at the vinyl siding failures too, I noticed that a lot of the failures, some of the, I don't know how old they were, but they were very brittle. Are you doing anything to look into the UV degradation of the vinyl faucet itself?
I wonder. That's a good point, Noel. Let me note that UV degradation and see if maybe VSI, they might have some information on that. But, yeah, that's a good point. Okay. Thanks.
Okay, with no
further... I'm sorry, this is Jamie. On that note, the high-velocity hurricane zone does have provisions for anything that's plastic exposed to weather undergo the weathering test. The Vinyl Siding Institute has provided particular cell classifications of vinyl that would satisfy the higher UV degradation. Is that across the board in their industry? That's the question for them, but... they do have cell classifications of vinyl that will satisfy the high South Florida weathering conditions.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's take our final roll call. Please answer by saying here. We know Mr. Shock has just left us. Warner Chang? Warner Chang?
Here.
Thank you. David Compton?
Here.
Michael Garacio?
Here.
Jamie Gascon?
Here.
Joe Hetzel? Doe Kim? Doe Kim? Dan Leverage?
Here. Thanks, Marlia.
Thank you. C.W. McCumber?
Yeah.
Craig Perino?
Here.
And Dick Wilhelm for Steve Strawn.
Here.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon, and thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thank you.